Hello, listeners. This is the host of So Did You Hear? Welcome back on the air with us live today. I am Federica, and I am joined by another interesting guest for you guys this week. It's good to be back in the studio and have some company, and just been enjoying, well, what was like a little bit of summer weather. It seems like now we kind of backtracked before coming into the studio today. It's sure at least starting to feel like summer, and I think it feels good. So hope everybody's been having a good week and getting outside and enjoying the transition into what should be full-on summer. And of course, now that it is June, it is Pride Month. And I am honored to be in the presence of my guest here today. We have Andrew Whitver, who is, correct me here with the title or...
Just one of the organizers.
Your organizer of the Spokane Queer Walk, or Queer Art Walk. And the event, I believe, already happened last weekend.
It's always on first Friday.
First Friday of June.
Yeah.
And, I'm excited to hear about how it went. And this was officially your third year of organizing, although, of course, last year, COVID, that was a different story.
But, we organized it, but it was canceled.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I can't imagine how frustrating. All the frustration of that. But at least now we are back at it and you were able to have the event. And, yeah, that must have been really exciting. So, welcome. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Frederica.
So, I'll just jump right into it. I'd love to hear a little bit more about your background. And, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you started with the Queer Art Walk. How did it come to be?
So I moved here about 4 years ago. And my partner and I started we came from Seattle, and we started the Queer Art Walk on Capitol Hill. So, and it continues today. I'm not a part of it anymore, and I haven't been for years. Both my partner and I are interested in the arts. We always have been. And during the month of June, it must have been 2018, I was looking around at the different galleries in Spokane during Pride Month and noticed that nobody was showing queer art. Mm-hmm. And so I was really taken back. I was like, whoa, this is kind of strange, going around to see the galleries and there wasn't any queer art. So I thought, well, why don't I just question around and ask people and see if we can get something going. And so I worked with asked the libraries if they were interested. They were interested. I asked city council. If the city was interested, they were interested. And trackside galleries. And the more I asked people, I thought maybe I'd get a little bit of pushback.
Gotcha. And, here we have a getting flagged by a somebody in the studio here. Let me check and see what's going on over there. You know, sometimes there's always something going on. Here, give us one second here. I will be right back.
Yeah, go ahead, Frederica.
Sometimes it's kind of
a mix
of stuff.
No.
Yeah. if you're feeling up to it, go for it.
There will be no singing.
Okay, well, I don't know. Now they walked away from the door, so who knows?
No, they're still standing there.
Okay. Well, okay. I'll be right back. Hopefully they'll just take a second. Let's see here.
And now they did walk away. And she's back.
All right. Well, at least that was easy. I was like, I got worried for a minute. I was like, oh my God, is the audio not feeding in the right place or something? Or just blank noise on the air? That would have been terrifying. Anyways, sorry about that. Like I said, here we're in kind of volunteer land on the radio station here, and there's always a little bit of action and activity going on, and sometimes things pop up. So, sorry to interrupt.
Oh, that's fine.
And so you started in Seattle with the Queer Art Walk, and did you guys move to Spokane for any specific reason, or was it just a change?
Just a change. We'd been in Seattle for 30 years. So,
oh, that's a long time.
We'd started spending some time in Spokane, then we just thought, let's do something crazy. And so we did. We jumped and we moved over to Spokane and haven't regretted it.
So tell me a little bit about... I like the idea that you wanted to incorporate art. I'm myself a really big supporter of the arts community as an artist, and I think art is a really important avenue of expression and representation. And is that, as far as like queer art being represented, was that something that you noticed first in Seattle? That was there an absence of representation out there?
No, there was never like an absence.
What was the inspiration for starting the organization or the event?
So there was never an... Well, here there was an absence of representation, at least in a... Maybe not in a... in a sense that galleries weren't showing it, but in a cumulative sense, let's say that. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't just a specific thing. So I've been a queer activist for nearly 30 years, and I'm still on the board of Pride Fest over in Seattle, which is the big... big event that happens down at the Seattle Center. So we get like 75,000 people. And I've been doing that for years. And so to me, visibility is really important for, yes, for queer people, and especially young queer people. And not everybody wants to go to those giant events. Mm-hmm. And so I thought one way to start something that might be a little different and might not be so overwhelming is to show queer artists and stuff, so youth and other people can go out and see their visibility through art and be recognized through art. It's also a great place for queer artists to show too.
Do you have favorite artists that you either like just enjoy following or that you like to represent, or locally and in Spokane, or there, even just in general, like, what are some of your favorite queer artists?
Well, that's pretty broad.
I know. I'm really good at that.
Broad.
I should have thought, I'm good at throwing these, like, two-in-one shot questions. So, I'm going to start with the big one. Like, are there any, do you have any favorite queer artists? And then, have you found other artists locally that, like, you've really liked working with?
Yeah, I'm going to go back with the local ones, because that's more important. There's several here, actually, in Spokane. June Sanders is probably my favorite, and she lives in Palouse. She's a transgendered artist. She is a professor at WSU. She currently has a show at Trackside Gallery, which is at 151 South Adams. Just to give everyone, she'll be there on Fridays for this entire month, I think, from 5 to 8.
Okay.
So I strongly encourage everyone to go down and see that show at the Culver Sullivan. I think I said Trackside, but she's at Culver Sullivan. Trackside's right next to it, and Trackside's the ceramic studio.
Gotcha.
Which they're showing 9 queer artists there. Now I lost my train of thought.
Favorite artists or artists.
it goes both ways. I still don't know that many queer artists here in Spokane. So, mostly the artists that I know are in Seattle. So there is one Seattle artist that's showing here at the Pavilion. The Pavilion now has a large glass, a large window in front of, I guess it would be the, I always get my directions kind of wrong, but it would be the north side, I think, of the Pavilion. Mm-hmm. And they're showing work there, and last month they showed Helen Parsons, which is an amazing fiber artist, and this month they're showing Sean Parks, who's out of Seattle, and he's a quilter. Mm. And it's a very large, it's probably 14 feet by 10 foot quilt. So he's one of my favorite artists.
That's a big quilt.
It is a big quilt.
It must take quite some time to make something that large with using that kind of a medium. So I think that's fascinating. Go ahead, yeah.
Well, no, and I really don't have there's not favorites, because
it's hard to pick. It's kind of a loaded question to ask if there's somebody, but I guess, I find that the artists that really speak to me are ones that, have a unique aesthetic, or I'm always drawn to stories, like art that tells stories.
Right.
For example, and, the reason I really find it interesting to see people using art as a form of expression and as a way to communicate stories and create visibility is it's you don't have to have words or it's so much in some ways more powerful and direct in way of conveying emotion and conveying one's story and how reality is perceived by a person or just go so much deeper than words can allow.
Right.
And yeah, so I myself am looking to follow more local artists and, of course, people in the queer community. As you said, they could definitely use more representation. And I'd really like to see, is there any artist that has really, like, in your mind that you've thought about really done that, an amazing job of portraying a story through their art?
Well, so many of them do.
And of
so
course, that's again a loaded question. Like everybody does that. Gosh, what was?
No, it's not a loaded question. But I'm not here to be critical of people's work and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So even when we get into favorites, I kind of cringe just a little bit.
What speaks to you? Like things that particularly speak to you? I guess not to say that. Yeah, favorite. You know that is kind of a sticky word because then you're insinuating maybe you believe somebody's
better or worse,
and that's I guess
which it does happen. I mean, let's be realistic. But I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to say that on the air right now. So the things that you said were stories. I mean, and that I do like work that really shows a person's story. I like the thought process behind things. I and I like the story, and I like work that you get a piece of that person out of it. You know that's. Mm-hmm. And which then it becomes, it kind of resonates with everyone. It becomes more authentic. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the things, and with several of the artists, that's how it is. And June's in particular, since I was talking about June's earlier, hers are photographs. And they're, you can see her softness and a world that that isn't yet created yet, but mm-hmm. that hopefully will be created. Mm-hmm. One that's more kind and loving and accepting.
So a vision, like a vision of a hope for a better future.
Yeah, yeah. That I think we're making. You know, I do think, I mean, there's so much BS out there about, you know, all this bipartisanship and all that kind of stuff. But I think generally the majority of people, they're not into all the BS. I mean, they're accepting of the queer community and stuff like that. Like Spokane, I was really hesitant about I thought I'd have to fight for the queer art walk here. And I didn't have to fight. Everyone was super open about it. Mm-hmm. And these are all basically they were all straight organizations, or at least run by straight people. And everyone was like, yeah, this is a great idea. This is a great idea. This is a great idea. So they really opened up to it. And that was something that was really surprising to me.
Mm. Yeah, I do think, it's Spokane, actually talked about the subject a lot on this show with my guests, kind of on the outer surface, it can seem a little lacking in diversity at times or lacking in representation, but all you have to do is just kind of like pry just under the surface, and there's actually so much openness to diversity and change here. And
totally agree.
It's nice to hear that you've had that experience.
Oh yeah, so, no, I agree. I that's yeah, I tell my friends are surprised on the West Side, you know, mm-hmm. that Spokane is this open. Because the other thing, too, we have to realize is the Queer Art Walk was the first citywide queer art walk in the state. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Bellevue doesn't have a queer art walk, a city queer art walk. Seattle doesn't have a citywide queer art walk. And Spokane had a citywide queer art walk where libraries and universities, everyone was engaged in it. So, I mean, good on Spokane for that. And that shows that there is a big place for acceptance here.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's still struggles. I mean, I don't want to,
Sure.
But it's the same on the West Side, too. You know, there's still, I mean, you still get called faggot over there. No one's called me a faggot here, but, I mean, that happens in Seattle, just as everyone thinks it's more liberal over there, more accepting, but it's not. I mean, there's still discrimination there against gays, straights, the LGBTQIA community. Mm-hmm. It's not any different.
Of course, yeah, and I think that is an important point to raise. Sometimes, just appearances are deceiving in ways and kind of contrary to what some people might think about some of our more smaller communities or rural communities. Sometimes, those bigger cities that are known to be more liberal or et cetera are not necessarily, and liberal is also, I want to use that term kind of carefully because I don't want to insinuate, like, not liberal in the sense of, like, politics here, but I guess diverse and welcoming to diversity. I think that's a little bit of a different subject. But places where you would think that is the case, sometimes it isn't.
Right.
And, of course, I think maybe the cities sometimes are a little bit more, there can be challenges in other ways. I think people are more comfortable being outspoken in ways that
Here or there?
In the cities.
Right.
Maybe just culturally, like, people just kind of, like, I noticed this in just in Seattle in general. People just, like, tell it how it is, man. Like, they will just say what they're thinking. Like, there's a lot of directness that I think here, like, in Spokane, I don't see it as, you don't see it as much. Doesn't mean people aren't thinking with something, but, boy, yeah. And this is just generally in cities. I think people are just a lot more direct. So maybe you see it more. People.
I'm direct, so I'm super direct. So
being
I don't
direct without being rude.
Oh no, totally. You know, like, no, exactly. But yeah, being direct isn't necessarily mean being rude.
The relationship people have with the filters they use is sometimes different, I guess.
Right.
I think that's also an interesting point. And everywhere has room for growth and potential for growth. And there's a lot of changes that I'm sure everyone is kind of hoping for will further happen. Is there a particular, like, issue area within the LGBTQ community that you're most passionate about or think needs the most attention right now?
Trans rights. I mean, that seems to be, I mean, that is definitely the biggest one right now. Yeah, so yeah. Trans rights. Yeah. That's the biggest issue right now.
How so do you mean?
Well, just discrimination. I mean, they're already trying to put laws out there that trans people aren't supposed to be in sports and bathrooms, the whole issue with bathrooms. Gosh. I mean, right. And it just goes on and on and on and on.
Fair.
Yeah, that's... It's hard being trans right now. There's no doubt about it.
That, I think...
And to accept yourself. Because the unfortunate thing is now that it is becoming so... it is unfortunate. That's becoming so visible, there's kids, of course, that are recognizing that they are trans. Like, oh, wow, that is me. And then they see all this discrimination that's happening. And that's, that just scares you, and you're frightened, and it's confusing.
Right. I'm sure it must be... if you're someone who vision of yourself, like who you know yourself to be, is also something that you see not being treated very well or well accepted in society, it of course creates a lot of opportunity for having a difficult relationship with yourself and your self-image.
Oh, totally. I mean, it's been going on, you know, people of color, not any different with people of color. I mean, it's not any different with all the LGBT community. I mean, that's...
And I don't want to speak for anybody who is trans. I can't speak from experience, but I can imagine, like, because I feel like there must be, and what I've heard from some of my other... I've had colleagues, friends, and just people I've met in my life who are trans. The struggle of identity in and of itself, and like physically represented through, you know, their gender expression. I mean, not only is there the personal challenge there, but then there's like that added challenge of acceptance.
Right.
So. Yeah, I think I definitely have a lot of respect for people going through that phase, especially young people, because as at a young age, you're already, like, it's just hard enough trying to figure out, like, what defines who you are, what your value is, and how you, quote-unquote, fit in the world.
Right.
Not to mention...
And your family.
And your family, yes, of course. So...
Yeah. So that's part of the queer art. So that's it. Mm-hmm. So having visibility. So we try to be really diverse. I mean, we had... over 20 artists, people of color, trans, gay, lesbian, and it's for youth. I mean, it really is. My goal is for youth to be able to see that there's queer people here. I mean, that's it. We're out there. You know what I mean? And these are brave people, too, because they are telling, obviously, if they're in the Queer Art Walk, that they're queer, and they identify as queer, and they're putting it out there for everybody. Like, and this is my work. And not necessarily all their work has... I mean, a lot of the work isn't... I don't even know the term that I want to use. it's not based on sexual orientation. Let's just put it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we're just, I mean, that's the thing. We're just like everybody else. So, you know, mm-hmm. if we're an artist, we might want to paint representational paintings, or we want to do watercolors or landscapes. Mm-hmm. It isn't gay, you know,
in the
broader term of gay-related work. But a lot of people might think that that's what we want to put in the Queer Art Walk, which it isn't. It's just show the diversity of artists, too.
That makes sense. So let's talk a little bit about the artists who participated this year. What exhibits, I know there were a few, four or five around town or more?
Seven
total. Awesome. That's more than I had written down here. I guess I checked my notes
that's
a little
fine.
Better, but that was great. So, yeah, can you tell us a little bit more about
So Dean Davis Studio is showing Matt Schwank, and Matt Schwank is actually local, born and raised in Spokane, kind of an Instagram sensation in that. It has like 120,000 followers.
Oh, wow.
So he's at Dean Davis, and he works with paint and glass. And the work that he did this time was inspired by Rothko. Mm-hmm. So I strongly encourage you to go to that show, if you can go to that show. Then there's the one, Margaret Mount, also. She's not local. She's from the East Coast, but she lives here now. Mm-hmm. And she's a fiber artist. And that's at Yes is a Feeling. And you just go up to the window. You can't go inside of it, but you can see it through the window.
What's fiber art?
Fabric, you know, it's okay. Not, yeah, any type of fabric. Well, it doesn't even have to be fabric. So it could be fabric, it can be wire, it can be anything that's usually not considered. It's not painting, it's not clay or anything like that. So it's some type of fiber. So Margaret Mount works in fiber, and then Sean's the quilter, and then June's the photographer at Colva Sullivan. And then there's, I think it's 8 or 9 artists that are at Trackside. And those are all ceramicists, and those are throughout. I don't think anyone's from Spokane. There's a few from Helena, Montana, a few from New York. I'm trying to remember where the rest of them are from, but which is really nice because we're getting outside artists that want to show in Spokane, which mm-hmm. is cool to get other artists to come in and show their work. So then we can see, because it opens up our minds too to see other work. So
and it creates the conditions for inspiration.
Totally. Some people get really nervous, especially Seattle was like this. I saw it in Seattle, and I'm seeing it in Spokane, where there's this fear of outside art coming in, like it needs to all be local and stuff like that, until it starts coming in, and then you recognize it as, oh, yeah, this is totally cool. Yeah, we want to see work from L.A. We want to see work from France. We want to see work from New York, because it does exactly what you said. It inspires you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I think... local representation is important, of course.
Oh, totally.
And we want to make sure that, like, we give local artists a platform as well. But, I don't see, there's no reason to, like, that's one of the things I like about the artistic field in the arts community. It's a collaborative culture.
Correct.
And,
you nailed it when you said that. It is collaborative.
Right. And I think that's one of the things that I think makes the artist, like, the art community just, like, a wholesome space to be in general. It's a lot of, it's generally supportive community, and I think,
but not always. It still has its cliques,
sure.
And can be super competitive.
Yes, of course. Yeah, I'm not trying to placate, like throw a generalization over all of it here. Of course, yes, the art it can be very competitive, but I feel like in general, for as far as like inspiration goes, that's one of the things that is, I think, beautiful in general about the art community, is the potential for the creation of community when you have artists coming from different places, different backgrounds, but sharing a common attribute, and how the power of that to create a kind of common or a bond, a connection. Not maybe for the artists themselves, but generally for like the viewers, the people see the there's a sort of like network that people are, that everything is the part of a greater whole, I guess, if
right.
that makes sense. So, that's really cool.
Speaking of collaboration, so there's a show, it's not in Spokane, but hopefully I can say this. It's in Coeur d'Alene,
mm-hmm.
and it's at Emerge.
There's a place called Emerge?
In Coeur d'Alene, yeah.
How is it spelled?
E-M-E-R-G-E.
That is so funny. I bit of a caveat, but I, when I lived in North Carolina before coming to Spokane. I worked at a it was a bar and venue, a little indie art venue and music venue called Emerge.
Oh, okay.
And they spit, but it was spelled I-M-U-R-J.
Yeah, no, this is E-M-E-R.
And,
E-M-E-R-G-E.
It was very much, and they had a lot of, we put on a lot of musicians and showcased a lot of artwork from the queer community for Queer Month, and that was just a funny connection I made, go figure.
So they are doing, so in Coeur d'Alene they are, and because you're speaking about collaboration, so mm-hmm. there's two artists, one, Tiffany Patterson, who is a local Spokane resident, and then they have, hopefully I'm getting his name right, but I know it's, I think it's J. Casey Doyle, who lives in Moscow and is a professor at the University of Idaho. So they collaborated on their work, and their work is at Emerge this month. So
cool.
Great place. And I know it's open. It's a great place to go up to and check out their work.
Fantastic.
And see how two artists collaborate together.
Mm. Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that. I'll...
Well, you brought it up. When you said collaboration, I was like, okay, wait, yeah. Someone's collaborating.
Yeah, I'm thinking of things that I would...
But you should go see Emerge about. Sometime, too. It's a great art organization.
I would love to. You know, I now that things are kind of finally opening up and that's an option, I think
yeah.
that's, like, on the top of my list. I want to go see, like, art galleries and theater shows. Like,
yeah.
just all these things that were taken away in the past year, and now it's an option. So that I would absolutely love to, and I think that's a great option for anybody who's interested in the art world to go check these places out.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, speaking of with you know the past year, it was challenging for all of us, and so of course you had put in time to organize an event for last year.
Yeah. 2020.
Yeah, yes.
A lot, actually.
So, oh gosh, like what must have been that like? What was in the works and what ended up happening? Were there artists that were able to be rescheduled or?
We did, actually.
Good.
June was supposed to be at Colvis Sutherland last June, and so she was able to have her show this June. So there was some that were rescheduled. There's some that it just didn't happen because we didn't even know if it was going to happen this year because it was really tentative. It was a lot bigger. It was going to be a lot bigger in 2020, but now 2022 is going to be a lot bigger than even 2020 was going to be because we have more people that are going to be involved. Gonzaga is getting involved. The libraries will be back in because the downtown library has been it's being remodeled right now,
right.
And they're big advocates of the Queer Art Walk, which is great. So. Yeah, 2020 was kind of a disappointment. It doesn't even seem like it happened.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Like when they say, oh, it was a year ago, it's like, whoa, was that really a year?
Right. Oh, I know what you mean. I feel like I feel like I have, like, amnesia from the past year. Like,
I'm just trying to forget it.
Oh, God. I know.
Move forward. Get vaccinated. Take your mask off.
Yes. Back to normal. I almost feel like it's a weird transitioning into a little bit of, like, normalcy now because it's just, like, so much constant change and then things just feel different. Like, even though things are going a little bit more back to normal and opening up, I don't know. Everything just kind of feels different and it just feels weird. It's just weird. What a weird year.
Yeah, definitely a different year.
So,
and it created a lot of art, too, because
yeah.
people were locked up for so long.
Right.
And then also to be able to express those emotions. So there's going to be a lot of COVID art coming out. I mean, there already was,
yeah.
But I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of it.
So that's actually, that's a really great point. I do think one of the maybe benefits or positive things to come out of it. Some people may have found the time to explore interests or try expanding their interest in like the creative arts and
right.
the field. So there was an opportunity for people to produce.
A lot of baking.
Oh yep, yeah, all of it. Oh yeah,
the culinary arts.
The culinary plants. Also, everybody's like. I've noticed this with young people in particular. Now there's like plant hoarding has become a thing.
Oh, interesting.
Planting, gardening.
Yeah, so, gardening was big.
That's funny. But yeah, a little bit of a caveat there. But, you know, I know this whole last year has changed life for so many of us in many different ways and affecting all our communities. So It's good to see things coming back in person. And
it is good. It's nice to be sitting across from you without our masks on.
Right.
Yeah. Getting used to it. I know it's a transition for people, but it was when I first took mine off. But now it's getting, I don't want to put it back on.
Right. I know. You know, sometimes the only benefit I personally get from it is like, well, I don't have to put on as much makeup. You know, or I can be, if I have stank face. I'm a very expressive person. I don't have a very good poker face.
No, I don't either.
That was one thing that was nice about the masks is like I could kind of hide behind it. Now I'm remembering like, oh yeah, I can't make faces all the time with people.
Right.
But
beware, you no longer have a mask on.
So, yeah, tell us, so this, but your organization is new in general.
Like, it's not really an organization. It really is. It's
an event. How should we call it or think of it? What's a good conceptual, the concept, is that a good word?
I guess it's just the queer art walk. It's really do it yourself. I mean, there's a group of us that, and it changes. The group that we're working with this year wasn't the group that we worked with last year or the year before. Mm-hmm. So it's very organic. Mm-hmm. I mean, the goal is to eventually, yes, it just, the organization side of it just goes away, and people realize in June they're going to showcase queer artists. And that was one of the things we got featured on Krem, and Krem said this before they started it with bringing back Spokane's tradition. And so that was super good to hear that someone said it was actually a tradition. So hopefully that just continues. Because that's what happened at the Queer Art Walk in Seattle. There isn't anyone organizing it. Mm. It's just people know now that they could be part of the Queer Art Walk because they're showing queer art.
And would that be, you think, like specifically for the month, for Pride Month or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. It's definitely for Pride. I mean, it's the whole month. So it's the first Friday, really. It's the first Friday. And so that was the other thing, too, is it doesn't have to be, like if it's a gallery or anything like that, it doesn't have to be the whole month. It can just be that night.
And
they can participate. And it's not necessarily visual art, too. So it can be music. It can be dance. It could be performance, whatever. And that's what we're looking forward to doing more next year. But we were going to do it last year, but we couldn't. Mm-hmm. And the first year we did, too. First year we had it was called Queer Stage, and Jules curated drag queens, performance artists, all that kind of stuff, and it was at the Cracker Building. And it was really, really, magicians, just showcasing all different types of performances and stuff that queer people happen to do.
That's so cool. So if somebody were interested in participating in the queer artwork, how can they do that?
So there's a few ways. We have a Facebook page, so you could always message that. And then we have Instagram. Mm-hmm. Spokane Queer Art Walk. But there isn't like an entity, or there's not a website, or there isn't anything like that. Or go to, if you're a visual artist, go to a restaurant or a bar that's showing art and ask them in June if they'd be willing to hang your art in June for the Queer Art Walk. Mm-hmm. So it really is kind of a do-it-yourself.
Very organic kind of structure.
Yeah, yeah. There aren't any hard rules or isn't anything like that. But, I mean, the main thing is you would have to send it into, so Downtown Spokane Partnership, DSP, they're the ones that sponsor the first Friday. Mm-hmm. So you would have to send an email to the Downtown Spokane Partnership saying, we're participating in the first, in the Queer Art Walk. And then they put it on a map and they pinpoint on the map on the places that are actually showing queer art.
Gotcha. Well, I think that that the point about how kind of organic the structure of the organization is, that's really great for accessibility too. And you know, I think sometimes accessibility can be an obstacle to say if you are in the arts community and trying to kind of maybe like demonstrate it like a bigger gallery or go through an official organization. Of course, it might be a little more complicated. But I see that as kind of an advantage as well.
Right.
Just for accessibility and make sure that people who want to participate are really able to.
Right. And that's the libraries were really good about that. So the first year, we were going to do it. We couldn't do it the second year, and we couldn't do it this year. Couldn't do it the second year because of COVID. Couldn't do it this year because the downtown library is being remodeled. Mm-hmm. But the library put out a show called Queer Space, and it wasn't curated. It was anyone that recognized as queer or identified as queer could send us their work as long as it was to be able to be viewed by the general public. Mm-hmm. And we would hang it. So we had the whole main, like, are you familiar? Like right when you walk into the library. I can't remember what it's called. Sure. There's that big gallery. Uh-huh. But so we hung all the work there. So it was really fun. So it was, you know, young kids could hang something up, and then, you know, established artists hung, you know, put things into it. So there wasn't any, it was really democratic. There wasn't anything, you know, it wasn't like this is good, this is bad, whatever. It was, I identify as queer and I make art and here it is and we're going to hang it. So it was cool.
That's great. Yeah, I think that's...
That was a great show.
Sounds like it. And I'm excited to hear, you know, I'm sure that there's still a lot in the works, but you said, so 2022, you have a lot. It's going to be way bigger than...
I think so, yeah. Think so? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you had, is there anybody in anything in particular you can give us a sneak peek of, or what that might look like?
And once again, we try not to curate the shows, so we try to put it up to the individual spaces.
Mm-hmm.
So Gonzaga stepped in and said they have their gallery over here on this side, the Guac. Gonzaga Arts Center. I'm not sure what it stands for, but it's right above Berserk.
Not guacamole.
No, it doesn't stand for guacamole, but it's right above Berserk. So they're going to participate, and then there's going to be... I can't give away. It just started last week. You know, I mean, it just ended last week. So we haven't gone out and started asking people. So I don't want to say it over, you know, like, oh, mm-hmm. and they're going to participate. And I haven't really asked them. But I know they will once we ask them. So yeah, there's going to be a lot more. There's awesome. Definitely going to be a lot more. And I don't know who the artists are going to be. But there definitely will be more. I mean, we know Trackside's going to participate again. June Sanders, who has the show... currently at Culver Sullivan on 151 South Adams, she's going to curate a show for next year. So she's not going to participate in the show, but she's going to curate the show. So that's one that I know of.
Awesome. Well, I guess that's kind of maybe one of the fun things about it is it'll be a surprise.
It is a surprise. And people come along. Like, we didn't know... Locust Cider, for instance. A week right before the event, I found out that they were going to participate. And they never contacted us or anything. They just sent something to the Downtown Spokane Partnership that they were going to participate in the Queer Art Walk.
Mm-hmm.
And so then all of a sudden I saw that. I was like, oh, this is cool. So and that's kind of that organic thing that's happening. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not anything that we asked. It wasn't anyone that we solicited. They just said the Queer Art Walk is happening in June, and we want to be a part of it, so we're going to send our information in the Downtown Spokane Partnership, and they put it up there, which was totally cool. So they had I think it was one of their employees actually is a queer artist, and so their work is up right now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, so it seems like it should be pretty easy to find all these events so Facebook, social media would be the easiest place to go to.
Or downtown. To find out about it, yeah, would be that. If you want to participate, would be
Downtown Spokane, the DSP
Yeah, that's if you want it. But if you're an artist that wants to participate, then, I mean, you could reach out to the Queer Art Walk. You could reach out to, but if you're a venue, then you want to make sure you participate, then you'll have to send something to Downtown Spokane Partnership. Does that make sense?
Yes. I just wanted to make sure.
It's confusing.
Yeah, well, that's...
And you can always ask questions.
Clarify that, yes.
At the Queer Art Walk, you know, that's... I think it's Spokane Queer Art Walk on Facebook and then Spokane Queer Art Walk on Instagram.
Okay. Yeah, perfect. No, that clarifies it.
Yeah.
I'm sure that if you're interested in just learning more about the participants themselves or the art being put on, or if you want to participate, or how do you register, et cetera. So,
right.
Yeah, thanks for breaking that down.
And more will come out later. Mm-hmm. I mean, there'll be calls and all that kind of stuff. It's just, but truly, we just ended, so mm-hmm. take it a little bit of a breather.
So, how long does it take to organize or put together the event?
It all depends. Yeah, it all depends. So we have people that put in a lot of time, and then people that don't put in, and not that the other time isn't valuable, then people that don't put in as much time.
Sure.
So it all depends. I mean, we're... Mm-hmm. It's all new. I mean, it's still all new. So just trying to figure out how to to organize it. We have a small group that has continued to do it every year. And then there's people that come in and it changes out. But we're always looking for people if people are interested in doing it.
Fantastic. Well, I think it would be nice to see it become a tradition. And
it is a tradition.
Frederica,
they told me on the news it's a tradition. Gosh.
Thank you for the correction, I know. But yeah, you know, hopefully we have no more like major interruptions like this crazy last year in the pandemic. And I think exciting to see a path forward.
Right.
For the event and the organization.
Yeah, people are excited about it. We had a really, really good turnout, which was great.
That's amazing. It's great to hear.
Well, and I think people are super excited just to get out and do stuff, too.
Oh, gosh, yes. I could definitely understand that. That's part of it. And they should. And that's, I think, it's kind of like a little bit of a renaissance, a resurgence to the outside world and a return to to life and when you take something away for a while, hopefully, and a lot of times we can learn to appreciate them more. And, I know that the pandemic has had that effect on me for certain things that I enjoy doing and like, being able to enjoy art, like, things that weren't considered, quote-unquote, essential, you know, businesses that were shut down. But I think expression in art is essential in how it... kind of like I was saying earlier, allows us a way to communicate and connect with each other as people and tell our stories and being able to just like being able to go in person and be there and have the experience is such a powerful thing.
Definitely. Yeah. So. It's not like looking. Instagram is, I guess, a good tool. I'm not going to say it's a good tool, but it's it's a tool to look at work, but there is nothing like seeing it in person. I mean, and just the whole thing about being in a gallery or being in the museums or being anything like, it's, you have to see it.
You have to be the whole, the whole experience.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. So, of course, I wouldn't expect you to know everything going on for Pride Month this month.
Okay.
There's quite a lot.
Thank you.
no pressure. But, in general, though, going a little bit broader, are there other events or
there are
people, organizations going on that you're excited about?
So, Spokane Pride, there's obviously not the big parade this year. So what they're doing is they're taking it local, so they're going to different neighborhoods. And I think, I could be wrong, but you could go to... I'm assuming their website is SpokanePride.com.
Mm-hmm.
But if you Google Spokane Pride, you'll find it. So they're doing smaller events, so they're going to the Perry District, and that might be this weekend, actually. And they're going to a few other neighborhoods, and they're going to do Pride festivals there.
Awesome.
That would be the go-to to check out what's happening there. The other events, I'm really not sure what's happening. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know there. Well, and we are still a little bit in the like gray area of what
we can do and what we can't do.
Right? Because I don't remember all the rules. I'd really have to double check what stage we are in now with events. But I know like smaller scale events and crowds are okay. But we're still not seeing like big. Like things like parades.
No, that's not going to be. Yeah, and definitely it's not going to be this month. So what they're doing, I do know it's October. I think Spokane Pride's going to take the parade and do it in October, and then have a big event in October. Of course, given that you can then, because who knows what's really going to happen. None of us are.
Gosh,
but that's the plan.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, that's the plan, is to open back up and have the Pride. So there is going to be a large Pride event.
Oh, perfect.
But okay. It's
just going to be later.
Yeah, it's going to be later. So and that information would be on Spokane Pride.
Awesome.
Definitely. Check that out.
Spokane Pride. Awesome. That sounds like a good resource.
Man, yeah.
I think... the fall is just going to be popping.
I have a feeling it's going to be really, really busy. Lots of concerts, lots of activities.
Oh, my gosh. So much stuff. I know, like, concerts, shows, like, everything is stacked now in, like, September, October. I wish we had, like, I'm going to have to invent, like, a time turner. Like, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the Harry Potter movies.
I'm not.
Okay. There's this thing they call a time turner. It's like a little pendant that you use and you spin it and you can, like, turn back X amount of time and go back and, like, jump back and forward through time. It's like, you're going to need one of those to be able to, like, do everything that's happening.
So see it at one time and then go back and see something else that happened at that same time. Yeah, it's going to be busy, which is great.
It's going to be exciting. It's going to be good.
Oh, it's awesome.
See everything kind of coming back. And honestly, my opinion, it'll be nice to add a little bit of excitement to when those darker, colder months here in Spokane. Because it's kind of sometimes a little sad when it's like the end of summer and then there's no more events and then it's just going to be dark and cold. And like, oh, man. So a little bit of a...
Well, the shows will be back. So that'll be good. Like, you can go to Lucky You, hang out there, dance, listen to music.
Yeah, it gives it something to be excited about in the colder months.
Right.
So, which I think is great.
Yeah. The darker months.
The darker months, I know. I am not originally from Spokane. Like I said, I lived out east for a while and then Colorado originally where I grew up. And this is, let me tell you, like the day-night difference between summer and winter and like the daylight hours.
Yeah.
It's intense up here. I'm not used to it. I'm still getting used to it. Just like how wild, like, you know, I don't understand how people live in Alaska.
That'd be a hard one.
I'd lose my mind. But yeah, the darker months. I mean, it's meaning it gets dark, but lots to look forward to now, which I'm excited for. So I will definitely be checking up on that myself. Pride and seeing what will be happening, and I think, of course, that's another good opportunity for more representation. Now we get two events, and rather than all being concentrated in 1 month, that's just even more opportunity for visibility.
Right. Well, and that's why we were able to have the Queer Art Walk, because it isn't like big gatherings of people, so we didn't want to, you know,
stir the pot.
Yeah, we didn't want to have large gatherings of people.
Right.
So it was, but we did want to have something happen in June.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I'm happy that you guys were able to put it together this year, and hoping in the future it all will kind of keep growing and go forward, and that vision will manifest.
I have no doubt that that will happen.
So, well, awesome. I think that's we're. Got all our kind of main points that I really wanted to share.
Okay.
And I appreciate you sharing everything, and I will leave it just to you, like, the little bit of time we have. Is there any other, like, messages or ideas about other events coming up? Anything else you want to share?
Not that I can think of. But go out and see the shows. I mean, that's it. So go up to Emerge in Coeur d'Alene. Check out the pavilion. You can still see it trackside. And Call the Sullivan. It's a side-by-side. June will be there on Fridays from 5 to 8. And then Yes is a Feeling. You can drive by Yes is a Feeling and see the work in the window there. You can support Locust Cider, and they have the work there. And then you can go in and have a drink if you want, get something to eat. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is Dean Davis Studios. And I don't know if they're open. But I know if you called Dean, you'd be able to get in and see him.
Perfect. Or check online. Is there a website?
There's not a website, but you could look. This month, you could still look at the Downtown Spokane Partnership site, and they have a little tag. If you go under First Friday, they have a little tag that says Queer Art Walk, and you can click on the Queer Art Walk, and it'll open up which places or where they are and the directions to them.
Perfect. Alrighty. Awesome. Well,
thank you,
Andrew, thank you so much for being here with
me
today. It was great talking with you and learning about the queer artwork and all the other exciting things happening for Pride Month and the Pride community in general. And I look forward to staying in touch and checking out all this awesome artwork that I can finally now appreciate in person. So,
good.
Thanks for sharing everything.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. We will be back with you next week. And we hope you have a wonderful weekend. Hopefully, stay dry if it does rain. I kind of hope it does because it's been awfully dry here. So, whatever you are moving on to in your day and your weekend, I hope it brings you joy. And you enjoy the rest of your weekend and the next week ahead. We'll talk to you in a week. And... yeah, cheers till then.